Acts chapter 2, we will begin at verse 32 this morning. Let's remain standing that we might honor the reading of God's word. Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 32. This Jesus, God raised up again, to which we are all witnesses. Therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, He has poured forth this which you both see and hear. For it was not David who ascended into heaven, but he himself says, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet." Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus, whom you crucified. Now, when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brethren, what shall we do?" Peter said to them, "Change your mind, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Then each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ because of the forgiveness of your sins. For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself." And with many other words, he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." So then, those who had received his word were baptized. And that day there were added about 3,000 souls. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of the bread and to the prayers. Fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day, those who were being saved. Heavenly Father, as we have been looking at the essential elements, the very essence of your church, what you made it to be, Lord, help us again this morning to not only see these things, but to desire them and to know in power and effect your Spirit, your Holy Spirit, who is the one who caused all of this to happen. We give you, Lord, our thanks for your word, for your Spirit, for your church. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we have been looking at the essence of the church in this, what we've called the First Church series. And we have seen the church was the assembly, the gathered assembly of those who were saved, verses 38 through 40. We have seen that the church identified as saved believers, believers in the Father, in the Son, and in the Holy Spirit, identified by triune immersion, water baptism, verse 38 and verse 41. We have seen that the church was devoted, verse 42, that is, adhering to strongly, persisting with strong attention to the teaching of the apostles. That is the apostles' doctrine, which for us is what you have in the New Testament. They were devoted to that. We have seen verse 42, that they were devoted to the fellowship. Verses 44 through 47, sharing everything, having all things in common, koinonia. We have seen that they were devoted to the breaking of the bread, the Lord's Supper, in verse 42 and verse 46. We have seen that they were devoted to the prayers, that is, gathered at specific times in specific places for prayer, verse 42, verses 46 and 47, and we looked at chapter 3, verse 1, last time. And today we will be reminded all of this was by the power of the Holy Spirit, and that from that power the church grew. So that's what we look at today. The power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was poured out by the risen, ascended Jesus. We read this morning in verse 33 of chapter 2. Jesus risen, verse 32, ascended to the right hand of the Father, verse 33, he has poured forth this which you both see and hear. Jesus poured out the Holy Spirit, the risen, ascended Jesus, just as he had promised the risen Christ, verse 36, who is Lord and Christ. This Jesus did this. Just as he had promised. Luke chapter 24, verse 49. Jesus had said, "Behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Jesus promised this promise, the Holy Spirit. John chapter 16, verse 27. Verse 7. John chapter 16, verse 7. "I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." Acts chapter 1, verse 5. "John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Jesus had promised. And on that day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out. And this promise of the Holy Spirit was received when they believed. Acts 2:38, Peter said to them, "Change your mind and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." When they changed their minds about who Jesus was, about the way of salvation, and they believed, what happened? They received the Holy Spirit immediately when they believed. Verse 39 says that the promise, that is this promise of the Holy Spirit, is for you, your children, all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself. This promise of the Holy Spirit is for every believer. Yes, and they received him on that day. Now the presence of the Holy Spirit in power produced some things. All the things we've been looking at in this passage over the last 6 weeks. The Holy Spirit produced apostolic sign miracles and the fear of the Lord. Verse 43, fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. Fear, the fear of the Lord was upon all of the people, every soul, every being. Fear, the fear of the Lord. And the apostles were doing wonders and signs, apostolic sign miracles. And the apostles totally attribute this to Jesus, the risen Jesus, pouring out his Holy Spirit. In chapter 3, verse 16, Peter says, on the basis of faith in his name, it is the name of Jesus which has strengthened this man, whom you see and know, and the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect health in the presence of you all. A physical healing miracle, Peter says, it was done by Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, through the Holy Spirit. Chapter 4, verse 29. As they are praying together, now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that your bondservants may speak your word with all confidence, while you extend your hand to heal, and signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. All of that came from Jesus through the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 5, beginning at verse 12. At the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were taking place among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's portico. I've shown you pictures of that. None of the rest dared to associate with them. However, the people held them in high esteem, and all the more believers in the Lord, multitudes of men and women were constantly added to their number, to such an extent that they even carried the sick out into the streets and laid them on cots and pallets so that when Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on any of them. Also, the people from the cities in the vicinity of Jerusalem were coming together, bringing people who were sick or afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all being healed. This was taking place, yes, through the apostles, but by the power of the Holy Spirit and producing the fear of the Lord upon all of the people. Now, I know someone wants to make the point right now, and it's valid, that there are not now continuing capital A apostles, the 12. And so then the argument is, well, this can't be happening. Well, that argument is valid. We do not have the 12 with us, the capital A apostles. Therefore, we are not doing sign miracles like the apostles did. That's true. But that does not mean that the same Holy Spirit is not among us now. Doesn't mean that. And it does not mean that that same Holy Spirit who saved and healed is not saving and healing among us now. And it certainly does not mean that the fear of the Lord should not be upon us when we see the Holy Spirit of God at work in our midst. So while, yes, something has changed, we do not have the capital A apostles with us, the Holy Spirit has not changed, and he is producing those kinds of things in our midst. The presence of the Holy Spirit in power produced all that this first church, as a new church, a day old, 2 days old, 3 days old, a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks old. All that that church was experiencing, the salvation in verse 38, that was accomplished by the Holy Spirit. Being saved, verse 40, that was accomplished by the Holy Spirit. It wasn't that anyone hearing Peter say, change your minds and believe, said, oh, that's a really good idea. I think I will make that decision and change my mind. That's not how salvation happened. Well, how did it happen? The Holy Spirit did it within them. The Holy Spirit created a new birth within them. They were born again, and they believed. Salvation is of the Spirit. Obedience to water baptism, which was a command in verse 38. Then each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ because of the forgiveness of your sins. Water baptism didn't do anything to forgive their sins. Their sins were forgiven when they believed, and the forgiveness of their sins was the cause, the motivation, the reason for their water baptism. And they did it, verse 41. They received his word and were baptized, and that day they were added about 3,000 souls. Obedience to water baptism was accomplished by the Holy Spirit. By the Holy Spirit. We could say a lot more about that, but we'll let it be right there. Devotion to the teaching of the apostles, verse 42. That was accomplished by the Holy Spirit, giving them the desire to hear and learn the doctrine, the Bible. That was from the Holy Spirit. Devotion to the fellowship, sharing everything, being of one mind. That didn't just happen. That didn't happen because they said, okay, now we've all been baptized, let's have a meeting and decide on what we agree on. No. The Holy Spirit did that. Devotion to the Lord's Supper, to feet washing, to the love feast, to the bread and the cup. How did that happen? When they heard the teaching, the Holy Spirit moved upon them. We need to continue to do this. And they did it every day. Devotion to the prayer gatherings. Verse 42. To the prayers. Praying together. Verse 46. From house to house. Verse 47, praising God. All of that was from the Holy Spirit. The granting of favor and growth. Verse 47, having favor with all the people, and the Lord was adding to their number day by day, those who were being saved. Having favor with all the people. We introduced that thought last time. I want to give one example of it from the Old Testament this morning to make this point. But the favor with all of the people, that came from the Holy Spirit. Came from Jesus through His Spirit. Yes. In the Old Testament book of Nehemiah, this is kind of an interesting example. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 11. Now, this is part of a longer prayer by Nehemiah, and it's something Nehemiah apparently was praying for days and days. Here's this part of the prayer. O Lord, I beseech you, may your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and the prayer of your servants who delight to revere your name, and make your servant successful today, and grant him compassion before this man. Now, this man was the king of Persia. So grant me compassion with the king of Persia today, he prayed. Now, does that have anything to do with the Lord's favor? Yes, it does. Just glance across the page in your Bible at Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 4. So Nehemiah came before the king. He looked sad. The king asked him why. Nehemiah said, because Jerusalem is still not rebuilt. The walls are laying there in ruins and all that. So verse 4, then the king said to me, what would you request? Wow. The king took the initiative to ask Nehemiah, what would you request? So Nehemiah immediately did what? Shot up a quick prayer to heaven. Okay, Lord, here it is. This is my moment of opportunity. Hear me, help me now. Verse 5, I said to the king, if it please the king, and if your servant has found what? What? Favor before you, send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tombs, that I may rebuild it. Verse 6, then the king said to me, the queen sitting beside him. Now, the Jewish commentators on this all translate this the Queen Mother sitting beside him. And here's the reason they translate it that way. They believe that this was still Esther, whose husband had died, but now their son is ruling. And so the Lord had sovereignly prepared Esther and her influence to be an influence on her son. And so the king said, verse 6, "How long will your journey be, and when will you return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I gave him a definite time." Did Nehemiah ask the Lord for favor with Artaxerxes? Yes, he did. Did the Lord grant that favor? Yes, he did. Had the Lord planned to grant that favor in a sovereign way all along? Yes. For years? Yes, he had. The Lord hears the prayers of his people when his people request, "Lord, give me favor with that person." Assuming that the reason you want favor with that person is for God's purpose, not just yours, but his. Now, who was at work behind the scenes in all of these things? The Holy Spirit was. The presence of the Holy Spirit in power for this first church in Jerusalem was for power to be Jesus' witnesses. Acts 1:8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Power for what? You shall be my witnesses. Power for what? You shall be my witnesses. That's what the presence of the Holy Spirit in the early church in Jerusalem was there for. So that they would be empowered to be witnesses of Jesus. They would know the resurrected Jesus, because the resurrected Jesus alive is the one who is pouring out his Spirit. How do you know Jesus is alive? Oh, because his Spirit, whom he sent, is in me. So he has to be alive. Why? Because he's in me. He has to be. That is proof of the resurrection. Now, there are many other proofs, but that is one of them. So, the presence of the Holy Spirit in power produced everything, all of these essentials of a church were produced by the Holy Spirit. Now, that should make you ask, if these essentials are not present in a church now, what is the church really lacking? Probably means they're lacking salvation. Because if they were saved, they would have the Holy Spirit. And clearly, what they're lacking is the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit who produces these things. Plans cannot produce these things. Strategies cannot produce these things. Pastors cannot produce these things. Committees cannot produce these things. The Holy Spirit produces these things. You know what? If you don't get anything else out of this whole series, at least get that. It's the Holy Spirit. Presence of the Holy Spirit in power, then, is what produced the growth of the church. Got it? The presence of the Holy Spirit in power is what produced the growth of the church. Now, what did that look like? Acts 2:47 says, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. The Lord was. Day by day adding to their number. Now, we've seen some of this already. This church on the day of Pentecost grew from 120 people. We could see that back in chapter 1 and the beginning of chapter 2. 120 to 3,000 in one day. Right? To 3,000 in one day. Verse 47 says, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls. Now, that of course is in a Jewish context of people there for Passover and for Pentecost. And it certainly was in that day a miracle of the Holy Spirit. You know, 3,000 people got saved in that day, and it wasn't because the apostles had a plan. No. The Spirit of God did it, and He used the Word of God to do it. The Spirit of God did it. Then, chapter 4, verse 4. Within a matter of weeks, probably 3 weeks or less, this church of 3,000 went to a church of about 15,000. Now I know Acts 4:4 says, many of those who had heard the message believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. But 5,000 is just the number of the men. So it's very conservative to suggest if there was an equal number of women and an equal number of children, and there likely were more than that, but it's very conservative to say the church grew from 3,000 to 15,000 in 3 weeks. Okay? Now, that means they were averaging. It probably didn't happen this way. But they were averaging about 160 new believers every day. And those 160 new believers all became part of their church. Yeah, all of them. All right. So you say, okay, and that was the Holy Spirit at work doing that. And, oh, they were starting with 3,000 people. So for 3,000 people to reach 160 people a day. And by the way, that 160 being added doesn't mean they just witnessed to 160 people. It means 160 people actually got saved every day and became part of their church. They probably had to witness to a whole lot more people than that. Say, okay, so we don't have 3,000 people. So we can't expect those kinds of numbers to be valid for us today. Okay? I'll agree with that. Do we have the same gospel? Yes. Do we have the same Holy Spirit? Yes. If 3,000 people could see 160 a day getting saved, couldn't 50 people see 2 a day getting saved? I'll let you take out your calculator and do the math. You can figure that out. It's proportional. Couldn't 50 people see 2 a day being saved? Another way of saying that, couldn't 50 people see 14 new believers here with you every Sunday? Because you were involved in leading them to Christ during the week. And they're added to your, say, well, but they go somewhere else. They do, but okay, you know what? Just knock off the excuses and listen to the Spirit of God. Say, okay, we can't reach 160 a day. There aren't even that many of us here. All right, fine. How about 2 a day? And you do realize the 3,000 did this together. Wasn't just one guy going out and trying to get somebody. They were talking together about it. They were praying together about these lost people. Say, no, it would just be impossible for us to see 2 people a day be added to our church. Oh, why is that impossible? You have the same gospel. You have the same Holy Spirit. Say, well, but what we need is some strategy. No, they didn't have one. Say, well, what we need is capital A apostles. Okay, but we have the message of the apostles. We have their teaching. And it's here. So it's possible. Chapter 5, verse 14. They went from 15,000 to multitudes. All the more believers in the Lord, multitudes of men and women were constantly added to their number. In other words, at some point, there were so many people that they gave up trying to count them all. Yeah. Chapter 6, verse 1 and verse 7. There was continued growth in Jerusalem. More were constantly added. Chapter 6, verse 1. At this time, while the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint arose on the part of the Hellenistic Jews against the native Hebrews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily serving of food. But notice, they were still increasing in number. Yeah. Chapter 6, verse 7. The word of God kept on spreading, and the number of the disciples continued to increase greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were becoming obedient to the faith. It continued growing. And that continues until the time of the stoning of Stephen and Rabbi Shaul, who became what you know of as the Apostle Paul. Rabbi Shaul was part of, he was in total agreement with stoning Stephen, and he was persecuting the church. Say, well, okay, so the persecution of the church made the church stop growing. Well, it made the church stop growing in Jerusalem. Why? Because many of those people then left Jerusalem and went home. They went to other places and they did what? They took the gospel with them, and the whole rest of the book of Acts talks about, and many more were added, and many more were added just in other places where the church went. So, 15,000, 20,000, 30,000, whatever, are any of those numbers too big? Well, that's how the church started. Will there be the power of the Holy Spirit for growth if there's not the power of the Holy Spirit for all of these other six essential features of the early church? No. They are all accomplished by the same Spirit. All of them. This all goes together. And the church, simply being the church, under the headship of Christ, under the headship of Jesus, by the power of His Holy Spirit, will be what the Lord has designed them to be. And without that, you can have all of the strategies, plans, everything under the sun, and the best you will accomplish is some carnal, fleshly result. You might even get a huge crowd of people, but it won't be a church. Because the church is the assembly of the saved, not the assembly of the attracted. Say, is this for us? Is this where we are? Sure. Do we have to wait for somebody to give us a plan or a strategy in order to do this? No. Say, well, let's have a meeting and take a vote. What? You're going to vote on the Holy Spirit? No. Believe and yield to Him and see what He will do. Ask for His favor with people and see what He will do. Heavenly Father,